Today I want to briefly speak about a wife and a mother, a husband and a father, a spiritual father and the great master of the young, and a religious mother who was a reformer and is known as the Doctor of Prayer. All four of these saints, by living their lives sacramentally and viewing the world through the lens of the church, were able with God's grace to bring many souls to heaven and continue to do so even today. Saint Teresa of Avila, known as the Doctor of Prayer. She was born on March 28, 1515. At a very young age, she loved reading about the lives of the saints with her younger brother. They both loved the martyrs so much that they left in secret at the young age of 7 to go to the land of the Moors to die for their faith and to die for Jesus Christ. However, before they could get there, their uncle met them and he brought them home to a very upset mother. You'll notice with the saints, and that's a beautiful thing to do for even us, is reading the lives of the saints. So many of the saints that are now canonized read about the lives of the saints before them. Saint Teresa, obviously, is one of them. Another one that comes to mind for me is Saint Ignatius of Loyola. You look at the lives of the saints, and he's in there, but he also read the saints' lives before him. That's the beauty of the saints. They are our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and they are our examples that we ask for intercession and prayer to. How, at first, she wanted to enter religious life, and her father was against it. After entering religious life, she became very sick, and her father decided to bring her home. Although she prayed when she was struggling in health, she did not pray when she was healed. She wanted something, was healed, received it, but didn't give thanksgiving. Does that sound familiar to us? On different occasions, she had encounters with our Lord. Now we're into her religious life, and she goes back into religious life and starts to have these encounters with our Lord. But fearing what these mean, she kept a lot of these visions in secret. The heavenly conversations purified her soul and gave her a humble heart. After being a Carmelite nun for nearly 25 years, Saint Teresa took on her greatest challenge yet. The Carmelites had lost their great austerity and enthusiasm by the early 16th century. At this time, she began her reform of the Carmelites and founded the Discalced Carmelites, the Shoeless Carmelites, Discalced Carmelites. Although her movement to reform the Carmelite order was approved by church officials, she was met with opposition from her fellow nuns, the nobility, the magistrates, and the people of Avila. This was a gut-wrenching reforming that she did, because so many of the religious sisters had gotten comfortable in a certain lifestyle, and so she felt that they were not reaching their primary mission, what the Carmelite mission was, so she goes and forms this new aspect of the Carmelites. Saint Teresa of Avila received many great talents from God. She had a calm and beautiful personality that resounded from the tenderness of her heart. She had a great understanding of people and how they interacted with one another. She had a mature wit and intelligence that was known by many. When choosing novices for her convents, she wanted them to first have intelligence and good judgment. Although piety was important, she believed that could be trained. Saint Teresa of Avila has left us many great books: The Interior Castle, The Way of Perfection, The Book of Her Life, and Foundations, which is a guide on how to live the religious life for her nuns and many others. These are great books to read at any time, but specifically during the Lenten season, because there's a penitential nature to her writings. I will say her writings are a little difficult because there's a circular nature to her writings, so you got to find a good translation. But last year during Lent, I read some of her writings, and it changed the way I looked at prayer. On October 4th, 1582, Saint Teresa of Avila entered heavenly glory. In 1622, Pope Gregory XV canonized her a saint of the church, and in 1970, she was declared a doctor of the church by Pope Paul VI. A quote I have for you from her Book of Life, Chapter 2, it says, quote, "If I should give advice, I would tell parents that when their children are at this age, that's the teenage age, they ought to be very careful about whom their children associate with. For here lies the root of great evil, since our natural bent is towards the worst rather than toward the best. End quote. Our second saint that we're going to discuss today is Saint John Bosco, one of my fan favorites. I taught at Saint Dominic Savio Catholic High School in Austin, Texas, and Saint John Bosco was the teacher of Saint Dominic Savio. Saint John Bosco, also known as Don Bosco, was born in 1815 and was raised by his saintly mother, Margaret. She would play an integral role through his entire life. From an early age, Don Bosco knew what his vocation would be, even though others made fun of him. He knew from an early childhood that he wanted to be a priest. And his peers made fun of him because he wanted to be a priest, but he was always set on being a priest. Usually when you know at a young age, people I know that are priests and religious that received this calling at a young age, there's a good shot you're going to be a priest or religious because it comes at such a young age. It was at the age of 16 that John, Don Bosco, entered seminary with really nothing but the clothes on his back, which were provided by the people in his town. He wanted to be a missionary in a foreign land, but Saint Joseph Cafasso, a superior at the time of his life, told him to unpack his trunk and go and continue his work with the poor boys of the city. Don Cafasso said, quote, "That and nothing else is God's will for you," end quote. As his priestly ministry grew, so did his flock continue to grow from the original 30 and 40 boys that he worked with. He opened up a tailor shop, a printing press, and other workshops for the boys to work in. He also taught classes on grammar and Latin. He asked St. Francis de Sales to be his intercessor. By 1856, he had 150 boys under his care. Now, just so you know, St. Francis de Sales, also a teacher. He is known as the master with the youth. He was very patient, even with the toughest and hardest boys. Many young priests came and went because they could not master the ability to speak and teach these young boys. But Don Bosco could. In 1859, with 22 companions, Don Bosco founded a religious congregation and named it the Salesians. It was named after his patron and a fellow teacher, St. Francis de Sales. Within 4 years of the founding, there were 39 Salesians. At Don Bosco's death, there were 768 Salesians. During his life, Don Bosco had a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially under her title, Our Lady Help of Christians. Don Bosco was a master builder as well. He built quite a few churches in his time and often asked the Blessed Mother for guidance and prayers under his favorite title. As desperate as times were, when corners were tight, the financial support that he needed always came through. On January 31st, 1888, which is his feast day, he died a joyful and beautiful death. 40,000 people viewed his body at his death. You can still view his body in Turin, Italy. He is one of the incorruptible saints. He was canonized as saint in 1934. I was blessed enough in 2000 for World Youth Day. We went to Turin and I was able to see his body. Still looks like his body the day they laid him to rest. A few of his sayings are, to parents he says this, quote, "Without confidence and love, there can be no true education. If you want to be loved, you must love yourselves and make your children feel that you love them," end quote. And to the youth under his care, he would say, quote, "Run, jump, have all the fun you want at the right time, but for heaven's sake, do not commit a sin." The third saint that we're going to look at is Blessed Karl of Austria. Blessed Karl of Austria was born on August 17, 1887 in the country of Austria. Karl's childhood is simple and wholesome. He is tutored and attends a school in Vienna. He's taught the Catholic faith and loves to practice it. He becomes known as a kind and compassionate child who performs various chores and tasks in an effort to raise money to give to the poor and buy gifts for those around him. At the age of 16, Carl is then commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Imperial Army. He's known as an intelligent and thoughtful young man, someone who is loyal and dependable. He is an inspiration to his fellow soldiers and works his way up the ranks, earning various promotions. After courting his girl Zita, who he met through family members, Carl takes her to the Marian Shrine of Mariazell, where he proposes to her in front of the Blessed Sacrament and places their engagement under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On the eve of their wedding, Carl tells his bride, "Now we must help each other get to heaven." Their union is blessed with 8 children. Their family and devotion to God are their first priorities, and they truly live a simple, quiet life while Carl continues his military career. On June 28, 1914, word is sent from Sarajevo that the heir apparent, Archduke Ferdinand, is assassinated, making Carl the new heir apparent and changing his life forever. Those of you that are familiar with World War II, this is the beginning of World War II. For Carl, the culture he bears is Christianity. And in the face of being in a war, he considers himself immoral. He considers the war itself immoral. He insists that he and the army will act morally. On November 30th, 1916, he is made emperor. And he faces many challenges, but he answers these many challenges in a saint-like way. Civilly, he organizes soup kitchens, uses the palace's horses and carriages to deliver coal to his people. He fights against usury and corruption and gives away his personal wealth, distributing alms beyond his means. He's the first world leader to establish a ministry of social welfare. Spiritually, Emperor Carl shares in the same privations as his people and orders the palace to observe food rationing and smaller portions. He invokes the name of God in all decrees and governmental acts. He creates a Catholic press and plans the building of more churches in Vienna to serve the growing needs of the faithful. Once the war ends, he was asked to give up his throne, but he refuses, stating that his crown is a sacred trust from God, and he will never betray God, his subjects, or his dynastic inheritance. At this point, Carl is then banished and exiled. When he realizes that he's dying at a very young age, he calls his son, also known as Archduke Otto, to his bedside to say goodbye and to show him, quote, how a Catholic and an emperor conducts himself when dying. Blessed Carl of Austria is still not a canonized saint. He was beatified by Pope John Paul II. Now, there's a great connection between Pope John Paul II and Carl of Austria. GP2's dad served in the military that Carl was emperor and commander of. John Paul II's father had such a great love and devotion to Carl of Austria that he named his youngest son, Carl in the Polish language. He named his youngest son, Carol, who would become Pope St. John Paul II after Carl of Austria. And then, by God's providence alone, John Paul II ends up beatifying Carl of Austria. Our fourth saint and the last saint we're going to discuss is Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, another fan favorite of mine. Gianna Beretta was born on October 4th, 1922, the feast of Saint Francis of Assisi in Magenta, Italy, outside of Milan. She was one of 13 children. Gianna received her first Holy Communion on April 4th, 1928, and in 1930 she received her confirmation. even though she was very young, from the day she first received her first Holy Communion, she went to Mass with her mama. She attended daily Mass her entire life. During her fifth year of secondary school, she went on a Jesuit retreat. It is here that the growth in her spiritual life began to go deeper. This, more than likely, is the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. If you've never done a retreat that goes over these spiritual exercises, I would say do one immediately. It's a beautiful... I went on a silent retreat last summer for the first time, and it was a beautiful 48 hours. By the time the 48 hours were over, I needed more time to spend in prayer. Back to St. Gianna. By walking through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, she began to open her life to Christ and the Blessed Mother, seeking to do the will of God for her life. She wished to offer everything to Jesus, both sufferings and joys, to die rather than commit serious sin, and to pray. During her time away from school, she joined, following her mother's example, the Young Girls of Catholic Action. In her own words, Gianna said, quote, "I make the holy resolution to do everything for Jesus. All my works, all my disappointments, I offer everything to him." End quote. Saint Gianna, along with her husband Pietro, are exceptional examples of friendship, self-sacrificial love, and holiness. In an age, in this modern culture that we live, that seeks to destroy sacrificial love and the beauty of marriage between a man and a woman, this couple is a shining light of God's grace and holiness that everyone, either married or single, should see as the perfect example of what it is to love another before yourself. As they were courting, and I'll kind of read here in a second how Pietro first meets her. As they were courting, they wrote letters. They wrote these love letters back and forth to each other, beautiful love letters. An art form that has been lost with email and specifically text messaging. Pietro writes this to her. He says, this is actually in a biography that he writes. He says, quote, "I saw Gianna for the first time in 1950. Later he would say he remembers meeting her in 1949. I was attracted to her. At dinner we sat opposite of each other. From then on, I managed to find opportunities for us to meet," end quote. In her first letter to him, she said, quote, "I want to make you happy and be what you desire, kind, understanding, and ready for the sacrifices that life will require. Now you are here whom I love, and I intend to give myself to you to form a truly Christian family," end quote. On September 24th, 1955, they were married in front of family and friends. They knelt before God, promising to remain faithful and to love one another for better or for worse. Even though Pietro worked full-time and Gianna operated a demanding medical practice, the couple had four children. However, in the end, the fourth child would also take the life of St. Gianna. During the pregnancy of her fourth child, a tumor developed on her uterus. She was advised to have an abortion to save her life, but instead she said, "Choose the life of the child." Being a doctor herself, she was fully aware of the dangers of her life, but chose the child's life over her own. She said, "If it comes down to saving a life, save the child's life before mine." After giving birth to her fourth child, Gianna Emanuela, she had an attack and went into a coma. However, she did come out of it. After waking from the first coma, the second she would never wake, she said to her husband, quote, "Pietro, I was already there, and do you know what I saw? They sent me down here to suffer still, because it is not right to come to the Lord without enough suffering," end quote. A few days after giving birth to her fourth child, she passed into eternal glory. Saint Gianna Beretta Mola entered heavenly glory on April 28, 1962. Pope St. John Paul II beatified her and canonized her as saint in 2004. So what do we take from these two sisters and two brothers of ours in the Christian faith? First, from St. Teresa of Avila, we take endurance, faith, and trusting in God, and having the great zeal for the Lord, humility, and especially prayer. St. John Bosco, he teaches us patience, love of children, and we are called to be missionaries, even if we're not missionaries across the world. We can be missionaries in the world in which we live right here. Blessed Karl of Austria, we learn how to live a life of virtue, what it is to be a Catholic man or any Catholic woman of faith, how to place others before oneself, and understand the dignity of the human person. And lastly, St. Gianna Beretta, we learn friendship, self-sacrifice, love of spouse and children, and complete and undying holiness. I hope you guys have listened to these lives of the saints and have taken them to heart. I've given you a short explanation of their lives. I would encourage you to read their lives and many more lives of the saints during this time of Lent. Thank you and God bless.